This is Fresh Air. In the 70s, disco and glitter rock were the rage on the radio and in clubs. But during that period, there was also some very adventurous music that was less commercially viable. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward explores two groups that exemplify the 70s rock avant-garde in America.
Creativity can come from two places, determination and reaction. You can decide to do something, or you can be forced into it by circumstance. The main difference is that, over time, determination can give you a long run, while reaction can force you to draw up short and reconsider your course. These thoughts came to me as I was considering the horrible wasteland that was rock and roll during the 70s, and how, whether by determination or reaction, a tiny rock and roll avant-garde appeared at that time, one whose effects are still being felt. In this country, it consisted for the most part of two groups, as different as could be, Pere Ubu and the Residents.
Send the dogs at Jesus' feet, send the dogs at Jesus' feet, send the dogs at Jesus' feet, there's no presence in the future.
In the future.
Flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the sleeves. Flitting in the slitting scene of snowness in the sleeves.
The Residents were four art students from Baton Rouge who scandalized everyone in 1972 with a primitive record they put out that Christmas, Santa Dog. Already the elements were in place, primitive sound, hollow-sounding percussion, breathy vocals. Upon the release of their album Meet the Residents, which featured a picture of the Beatles with their heads replaced by crawfish, the band moved to San Francisco, where they live to this day. Militantly anonymous, they pioneered in deconstructive versions of rock and roll songs and moved on to make their own determinedly obtuse pop sounds. Naturally, sticking with it as long as they have, the Residents have picked up quite a following, and they even got to the point where they toured, each wearing a huge opaque eyeball to preserve his anonymity. They wear these outfits on the cover of their masterpiece, Eskimo, an album that attempts to invoke the life of the Inuits through the Residents' patented sound. If the Residents started as reaction and mellowed into artists, Pere Ubu started as deliberate avant-gardists. The band coalesced around 1975, the brainchild of two writers, Peter Loftner and David Thomas. Determinedly evoking the likes of Albert Eiler and Captain Beefheart, they reinvented song structure, and songs like Final Solution were as close as they got to being mainstream. Vocalist Thomas, jolly and fat, called himself Crocus Behemoth, and his voice was as unsettling as his stage presence. Somehow, Mercury Records, in the first days of punk, saw something in Pere Ubu and signed them. The resultant album, The Modern Dance, was a monster.
Down at the bars,
unfortunately, Loftner died before it was recorded. The band, without his warped pop sensibility to steer them, sailed forth into previously uncharted waters, making records like nobody'd ever heard before.
What do you do with a drunken sailor? Who do you see in Caligari's mirror? How do you like the prankster's cheese? What do you see in a drunken sailor? Who do you see in Caligari's mirror?
This song, Caligari's Mirror, appeared on another major label in 1978, but as you might expect, despite great reviews, it sold horribly in this country. Pere Ubu kept at it for 3 more years, but the seeds of trouble were already evident by their third album, New Picnic Time, which featured a track called Jehovah's Kingdom Comes, a reflection of David Thomas's increasing involvement with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Debt-ridden and unsuccessful, the band flew apart in 1981 and reunited last year for an album. By then, they sounded almost normal, or hardly as weird as they had a decade earlier, a testament to their influence and importance.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.